Mina, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. Mina. Hi, Mina. How's that like?
Whoa, why do you say it like that? You're so
You know, aggressive. Perfect. You want... Aren't you guys going to be out here soon, right?
We are going to be out there.
I ain't there yet.
Amazing.
I ain't there yet.
Oh, my God.
Why you going? Why you going? What you going to L.A. for? What you going to L.A. for?
I'm doing the show with you in L.A.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So don't you worry about it.
That's the excuse. You're holding on to that. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. That was awkward. Let's carry on. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn, I'll start with you. Actually, no, I won't. I want to go back to Mina because she's the fresh voice here. Will Jimmy G keep the Niners from the Super Bowl, Mina? Your thoughts on this?
No, I don't think so, which is notable because, as you guys know, I have been critical of Garoppolo in the past, last season. And I do think, if you were looking at the playoffs and you're asking what could possibly derail San Francisco, the quarterback has been the weak link in the past, especially with turnovers. But we also have to acknowledge how Jimmy Garoppolo is playing right now, and he's playing extremely good football. I agree with everything Kyle Shanahan said. He's got 3 games without throwing an interception, which has always been his biggest issue as a quarterback. And I do think watching him with Christian McCaffrey, it seems to have unlocked something where he is a bit more aggressive, throwing the ball downfield. It does give him an outlet when he's under pressure, when some of those mistakes have happened in the past. Right now, he's in a terrific situation. The offensive line is playing good. We've seen what all these skilled players are capable of, and he is executing this offense to perfection. I have to give him his flowers.
Yeah, everything that Mina is saying is correct. And when you look at the way he's been playing, he isn't turning the ball over. He seems to be playing with confidence. They seem to be dialing things up differently than in the past. He's getting the ball out extremely fast when he hits his back feet. He's going from 1 to 2 to 3, getting back to 1 if he needs to, and he's throwing the football away. That is the thing that I like most about him, is he's not taking the unnecessary chances anymore. And people look at Jimmy Garoppolo as the weak link because of the way they won in Green Bay a year ago, the way they got to the Super Bowl against Minnesota in Green Bay. They took the football out of his hands. Then they moved on from him, essentially, and drafted Trey Lance. But yet and still, as I told Stephen A. earlier, Mina, do you think that they're glad that Jimmy G is still in the building? Because if he wasn't, where would this team be? If he wasn't in the building, where would this team be?
You know, you're amazing. You really are. I gotta give it to Keyshawn. Congratulations on that. He's absolutely amazing. What you just pointed out, I mean, they're going to bring up last year against Green Bay. They're going to bring up a couple of years ago against Green Bay in Minnesota. I mean, damn, just give me the mountain of evidence to validate the doubt that we have in Jimmy G.
But that's what you always bring up. That's the only thing people seem to point to.
It's unbelievable that you would say that. I mean, you two are unbelievable. I mean, listen, I don't know who you've been hanging out with. Y'all are just the paragons of enthusiasm and inspiration. I mean, my God, y'all got me motivated. I mean, hey, Jimmy G, maybe he will do it. I mean, forget what we've seen. Forget the fact that they saw enough that they were willing to throw him away like yesterday's trash. Forget the fact that Trey Lance hadn't proved a damn thing. And they handed him the reins because of how down they were on Jimmy G. We're just going to ignore all of that. And oh, by the way, over the last 3 weeks, he's absolutely fantastic. 2 of those games were against the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. We just going to ignore that, Mina, huh?
So
we just going to ignore
that.
I'm not even talking to you right now, Key, because we know the schedule. It's all about the schedule with you. It don't matter who they play. They on the schedule. If they played against a Pop Warner team, it don't mean anything to you. I understand that. But, Mina, you of all people, I am shocked. I am appalled. You would sit up there and just throw out the side and just ignore the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals as 2 of the 3 teams he played against. Oh, by the way, that was after they got blitzed by Kansas City on their home turf, blown out of the state, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But we just going to ignore all of that, right? Because Jimmy G is something special.
I'm not ignoring it.
Oh, really? Really?
I just think he looks a little bit different as a quarterback.
Wow.
And I do think the presence of Christian McCaffrey.
Well, if I could throw screens to Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuels, I'd look different too.
Yeah, exactly. And we would say, hey, Stephen A. is keeping the trains running on time in San Francisco. I'm not saying he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I'm not saying he's going to elevate this team in the playoffs. What I'm saying is this football team, we haven't even talked about the defense, by the way, which is one of, if not the best
Big time.
In the NFL,
Big
is
time.
So stacked top to bottom that the quarterback doesn't need to do that much, and he is executing it really well right now.
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm glad you said that, Mina. I'm glad you said that. You brought it home. Because, see, the impetus for this discussion that Molly didn't introduce the subject appropriately Keyshawn did not literally elaborate on. The real key here, Mina, was this. What we were saying is, if the 49ers don't go to the Super Bowl, who we going to look at? Mm. And I said Jimmy G.
Oh.
He's the dude that's going to be at fault. They got everything else. He will be the reason. If the 49ers don't advance to the Super Bowl this year, trust you me, porn star Jimmy is going to be the reason why. You can book it.
Yeah,
I have to agree with you there. He is the, as I said at the beginning, if you had to pick one weak link on the team, it would be the quarterback. I just think the quarterback is playing really well right now, and I wanted to acknowledge that. But you're right.
Mina, you've been covering this stuff for a very long time. Don't let Stephen A. talk you into something that you truly probably don't believe in. What the 49ers have is portable.
It's the framing. It's the framing. What question are we asking?
Think about it. They run the football well. They play lights out defense.
Yes.
You don't need your quarterback to do much when that's portable.
That is not the point. And by the way, you're the only person I've heard use the word portable with these discussions. We're going to talk about that portable word
because
that you've been
using. Because you can move it around and you can travel with it.
To the word portable, okay? But let me say this to you, Keyshawn. You're making my point. You're pointing to all of this other stuff I'm having. I'm saying to you, all of those things are going to show up. Their running game going to show up. Their defense is going to show up. Kittle's, McCaffrey, and Debo going to show up. It's that damn Jimmy G. That's the question, Marquis. That's all I'm saying.
Look, all I need him
That's
to do.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All I need him to do is be 17 to 25, 200 yards,
That's
and
a lot.
Throw a touchdown.
That's a lot. Come postseason, that's a lot.
Now I'm completely pivoted to Stephen A.'s side because now I understand what
Don't
he's saying.
Let him
the problem
you.
Is, Keyshawn, what you just said, I just need Jimmy to do this and not turn ball over. How many times have we said that in the past at key moments, which you yourself mentioned earlier? It's, you know, there's a pretty large sample size that gives us reason to have doubt. I'm not saying doubt's going to matriculate. I'm just saying there's reason.
When I go back and I look at it, and I have to go back to Minnesota and Green Bay in the playoffs because that was glaring. They took the football out of his hands. Then in the Super Bowl, they let him throw. He missed the throw. If he connects on that throw, we're having a different conversation.
Wow.
It's just a different kind. He's not the only person to miss a throw. It's a different conversation. But what we do is we act like this is a consistent thing with him in every single game, and it's not true.
You just named different examples.
There's a lot of ifs there. If my head was a bit bigger and I didn't have a schnoz up front and a noggin in the back, I could go bald and feel just as confident as I do right now. I mean, there's a lot of ifs. What does that mean? I don't think
it's going to be Jimmy G. If they can't make it to the Super Bowl, I think it's more so going to be Kyle Shanahan. I think it's going to be Kyle Shanahan getting tight.
You've been talking to Molly. You've been talking about something wrong with you. Something is absolutely wrong.
You're
going to blame Kyle Shanahan. Now, I'll blame Kyle Shanahan once they get to the Super Bowl because his record in the fourth quarter is a different subject.
If they don't get
to the Super Bowl,
if they don't get there, it's because the coach got spooked. That's why. It ain't going to be because of quarterback.
Okay.
It ain't gonna
Keyshawn,
be a quarterback.
You said it was only three games. There's quite a few examples of Jimmy Garoppolo throwing interceptions at four times
in his career.
We're doing wins. All right.
Okay.
I came into this trying to praise Jimmy Garoppolo. How did we get here?
We're doing wins because if we give them touchdowns, we give them we complain when they lose, but we can't give them wins. We can't look at their record.
Well, the point of this is asking what could hold the Niners back, and when you look at the losses, too often it has been the quarterback. That's the only point we're trying to make.
You better stop, man.
Don't fall for the trap, Mina.
He's playing well.
It's the truth. It's the truth, Keyshawn. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. That's what this is, man. That's what this is.
God.
Is there a statute of limitations for how many times you can throw me under the bus during one show? I'm just wondering.
Are you under the bus?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
I think we had this exact discussion before the Packers game last year with everybody taking these exact positions.
I have a better question.
Well, we remember how that turned out.
I have a better question.
Yeah.
You and Mina been coordinating with the same stylist? I'm just wondering.
I'm just pretty close, huh? Pretty close.
No, we just know how to dress for television because we're professional.
Well, you've gotten better. You've gotten better.
Okay. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Yeah, 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 you know what time it is. It's week 11. It's over and done with. My top five teams in the National Football League. Keep in mind, here's the deal. The list is fluid. It's fluid. Just because you see this week doesn't mean it's going to look that way next week. Stay with me, all right? Let's get to number five on the list, please. Give it to me right now here. Give it to me right now. The San Francisco 49ers. Why? They got a top five defense, y'all. They got a bunch of rough riders. You got Debo and Kittle. And now the pickup of Christian McCaffrey. I know porn star Jimmy can derail their hopes and aspirations. But until he does, the fact of the matter is they're a top five team in the National Football League right now, led by a great coach in Kyle Shanahan, who's great any other time than a fourth quarter of Super Bowls, okay? I'm going with San Francisco as number five on the list. Let's go to number four on the list, please. Give it to me right now. Bam! The Buffalo Bills. Why? It's still that dude, Josh Allen. It's still that dude, Stephon Diggs. They're still one of the top five teams in the National Football League. I know they were struggling a couple of weeks ago, but the bottom line is they steered the ship in the right direction. They're a top four team in the National Football League. They ain't top three, though. Give it to me right here. Bam! The Philadelphia Eagles. Why? They only got one loss on the season. That's why. Their defense is real. That's why. And Dominican Sue being added to that defense is something that I applaud. That's why. They have struggled, however, over the last couple of weeks against the Commanders, Washington, on Monday Night Football, and barely squeaking out a victory against the Indianapolis Colts led by Jeff Saturday. They still only got one loss. I still got them winning the NFC East. But the bottom line is, for the moment, over the last few weeks, they haven't looked like a top two team in the National Football League. I gotta go here with number two. Give it to me. The Dallas Cowboys. Why? Because when you take the best team supposedly in the Minnesota Vikings and you humble them and beat them down and bum rush them and punk them and embarrass them on national television and trollop them 40-3, that's a big damn deal. Okay, they should have won the game against Green Bay. I don't know how they wet the bed a couple of weeks ago, over a week ago, but they made a mess for it with what they did on the road in Minnesota with your backup running back, okay, with CeeDee Lamb elevating, okay, with Schultz and Noah Brown and Gallup and these brothers and that defense led by Michael Parsons. I had to put them at number two for now, but remember the list is fluid. Number one, no. Here's where we gonna go. Give it to me. It is this dude, the Kansas City Chiefs, because of Patrick Mahomes. He is the leading candidate to win league MVP honors. My brother from another mother, the one and only Travis Kelce, the best tight end in football. And by the way, one of the elite decision makers in football. Figure that out and you'll know what I'm talking about. That dog, Travis Kelce, that dude right there, okay, with Patrick Mahomes, with Andy Reid and them brothers having a better defense now with Patrick Mahomes constantly being in a position. The defense only got to keep you in the game. Patrick Mahomes will find a way to deliver the goods. I got to go with that. I understand honorable mentions like Tennessee and others could be mentioned, but damn it, they ain't my top five. I got Kansas City. I got Dallas. I got Philly. I got Buffalo. And I got the San Francisco 49ers as my top five teams in the National Football League. There you go. Floor is y'all.
Yeah, you got the first three right. The first three is right. Number four is not right, man. Okay? I would move the 49ers up to four. I put Miami at five. All this Miami hype that was going on First Take over the last couple weeks, now all of a sudden Miami ain't nowhere to be found. But I guess you're going to tell me it's fluid. Didn't Miami beat Buffalo, Mina?
Yes, they did.
And didn't Minnesota take care of Buffalo in Buffalo? And Buffalo just struggled to get past Cleveland. But I guess that's because they had to go to Detroit. Come on, man, stop.
The weather in Detroit and a neutral site that has something to do with it. But you might have me there.
I will admit.
You might have me there for Miami. I might have slipped on that one. I give it to you. But I'm proud of 1, 2, 3, and 5. Mina, the floor is yours.
I really like your list, and I think with the Bills, Keyshawn's leaving out something important, which is you're recognizing the underlying qualities of this team. In their losses, they were missing almost their entire secondary in many of these games. They're getting healthy. Hopefully, they get Tre'Davious White back at some point. Jordan Poyer came back. We do need Josh Allen to continue what we saw, which is cutting down on those red zone interceptions, but they are still one of the best teams in the NFL. I think Miami is the sleeping giant in this league because of their offense. The defense looked better last week, but I want to see more continued good performance against them. And after next week against the Texans, they have a really tough slate of games. I want to see how they play because they have the potential to skyrocket up this list.
Coach!
Pretty good list. I know it's fluid. The order, I don't like the order so much, though.
What?
I think this is the order for me. It's the Chiefs. It's the Fly Eagles Fly, it's the Bills, the Cowboys, and then the 49ers. And Miami, to me, I want to see the Miami Dolphins play in the cold. I want to see them play in the cold at the end of the day, all right? If that's the litmus test for me. Can they play in the cold? Does that thing travel in bad weather? I think they're an upcoming team. I think they're good. And remember this one, Stephen A. There's another team just kind of sitting out there and getting well. Nobody's saying a lot about them. Watch out for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're getting well.
Watch out for them. The list is fluid. The list is fluid, Coach. We can watch out for them. And I'm glad y'all piggybacked on the Miami stuff. I take back what I said to you, Key. I was right to leave the Bills at number four, okay? Because we want to see Miami in the cold weather. So forget all of that, okay? Coach, I'm sorry. I can't put the Eagles above the Cowboys with how I've seen the Eagles look over the last 2 weeks. Now, they'll beat the Cowboys when the playoffs come. But right now, I will put the Cowboys above the Eagles just for this week. The list is fluid. The list is fluid.
Okay, can I get the grades real quick? Keyshawn, you're up first. What are you giving him?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a B-plus because he doesn't have Miami in there. Okay. I understand what Mina's saying about the injuries, but that doesn't matter. You play with who's on the field, period.
Mina?
It's an A-minus for me. I think this is a pretty good list.
Herm?
I agree. I think the order of it can change, but I like the list. I know you guys are beating up Jimmy Garoppolo. You always want to beat up the cornerbacks. Right. Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be fine. Right.
I'm afraid to ask this, but I'm going to ask Molly's opinion. Let me see if you could be objective and not biased against me. Speak your truth. How you feel about this list?
Need Miami. It's a B. Solid job. Hey!
Wow.
She lives in Florida. She lives in Florida. There's a bias there. Just relax.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, tell me this. Are the Vikings as good as their record?
I think they were never going undefeated. They are what they are in terms of their record. I think they're a good football team. They're a playoff team. I think if they get into the playoffs, they could potentially make some noise. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but when you look at it, they got annihilated by the Dallas Cowboys. No question about it. But they're not going to lose games this year, the rest of the games 40-3. It's just not going to happen. They're a good football team. They're going to be fighting along the way to get that first round bye, just like everybody else. And look, they're going to win the division. And that's what they are. They're the type of team that can make some noise when they get in the playoff. Good receivers, good running back, solid offensive line, excellent tight end. The defense is good. The secondary is solid. I don't see what the problem is, why this would even be a question.
I do.
Why? Go ahead.
I do.
But why?
Excuse me for interjecting, Mina. See, stay with it. Stay with the question, Key.
Here's the deal.
I'm gonna tell you what you do. I'm gonna tell you what you do because you project. You project and you project enthusiastically. I mean, listen, man, you got that mean mug on you all the time, but I'm your boy. That's why you always smiling when you meet, because I'm your brother. You know what I'm saying? That meanness don't work with me. But it also don't work with a lot of people because you're really a nice guy. You just try to hide it, okay? The fact of the matter is you are very positive. You're enthusiastic. And dare I say, when it comes to dissecting these teams, you might dissect them accurately, but when it comes time for prediction, you get soft because you're hopeful. You're hopeful. You sprint. Hope spring eternal and stuff like that. This is Kirk Cousins, man. It's Kirk Cousins. You know what you're talking about.
They didn't lose because of Kirk Cousins.
Listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Minnesota is a damn good team. I want you to know, so I want to say something to the Vikings on national television. Y'all got y'all ass kicked. Very, very bad. It was very embarrassing. You disappointed the football world because all we expected was a game. I mean, damn, you couldn't give us a game? We understand you couldn't even give us a game on your home turf. That's just embarrassing. It really was. But I'll say this real quick, Mina. The two games the Vikings lost, Justin Jefferson was neutralized. And I'm saying to you, that come playoff time, when what they've shown, Ryan Clark alluded to this Monday, key on Jefferson. Make Kirk Cousins make him connect with someone else, whether it's Thielen, whether it's Hockenson or somebody. Make him connect with somebody else, and you got him. That's what we've learned from Kirk Cousins. Come playoff time, this is exactly what y'all going to see, and that's why I'm not sold on Minnesota.
Stephen, I feel like someone came on this show last week and tried to tell you guys the Vikings weren't as good as their record, and she might have gotten a lot of pushback. I don't know if I'm remembering this perfectly. Perhaps you might remember how it went. I feel like somebody said this, and maybe it was me. It was definitely me, because I tried to tell you guys. They are not 8-2. That's the question. Are they as good as their record? I mean, first of all, they're the first team in NFL history to be 8-2 with a negative point differential. So on that alone, you can tell that they're not of the caliber of your typical 8-2 team. Now, that's not to say they're not a good team. I think when you have the best wide receiver in football, one of them, one of the best left tackles in football, and Za'Darius Smith, you have a foundation there. But Keyshawn, this is not a good defense. You saw that on display against Dallas. And Kirk Cousins is not playing consistently at a high level this year. They're a good team. They're not a great team. It's the reason why they weren't Stephen A's A-list. They're not going to be there, in my opinion. And it's okay to be a good team because there's a lot of parity in the NFL right now. People can win any given Sunday. But we should recognize them for who they are, which is not an 8-2 team.
That's what their records say. Their records say they're 8-2. That's what they are. Teams in the National Football League in 17 weeks, Mina, teams in the National Football League in 17 weeks are not going to win every game the way we want them to. And they're not going to lose every game the way we think they're going to lose. They lost to the Dallas Cowboys 40-3. They're not going out there next week and losing to somebody 40-3. We didn't think they were going to steal one from the Buffalo Bills, but we also didn't think the Kansas City Chiefs would go into Indiana.
They shouldn't have won the game against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, but they did.
Look at it. You all
your record.
I mean,
they
lost.
All
they had to do was take a knee. And take a knee, and the game is over. And they couldn't move the ball a half yard.
Guess what? Guess
that's
what?
The reason Minnesota won that Buffalo
happen.
Game.
It didn't happen. Okay? All Ray Allen had to do was miss a three-pointer, and LeBron won the championship. But guess what? It didn't happen. It didn't happen.
He hit the three. So he often our discussions three, come down to this. You are what your record says you are when it comes time to seed for the playoffs, for sure. But we can look at a team and say, well, this team that maybe has 6 wins is better than this team with 8 wins. Fundamentally, like, we can look at the underlying qualities of the team, the quarterback, whatnot, and try to evaluate them based on their own merits. I mean, that's why we're here. If it was just the records, there would be no debate. We would just put up the standings every week and go about our business.
We can look at the records, but we also could forecast what they could potentially be down the line as they continue to correct the mistakes. We say Jefferson disappeared in 2 games that they lost because they neutralized him and took him out and made Kirk Cousins do something that he hadn't been able to do. Don't we think that the coaches are going to go back to the drawing board and say to themselves, okay, this is what's happening to us. When this happens, we struggle. Let's do it differently this time around. Because I honestly think that that will be the case.
They're going to play well because look at their schedule. It's easy.
I can't talk to you and Stephen A. Now this is scary. You've been around him too long, Mina. He's rubbing off on you.
Now you're rubbing off on you.
I should be rubbing off on you.
You think Kirk Cousins is playing good football right now, Key? Do you think Kirk Cousins is playing like one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL?
Get on him, Mina. Get on him. Get him.
I'm just asking. It's a simple question.
I can't answer that. I plead the fifth. I can't answer that.
I plead the fifth. Listen, first of all, that needs to be in our plays and our moments of the week.
We need to include that.
Best of the week. Keyshawn Johnson saying, I plead the fifth. You got to be kidding me.
Because if I say he's playing good football, well, here's the da-da-da-da-da. And if I say he's not playing.
Well, I'm going to say this.
But he's doing enough for them to be 8-2.
Right.
But he's doing
defensive?
Enough to be 8-2.
Why are you being defensive? We just asked a question. All you had to do was answer
I'm
it.
Not.
You had to do it. I will say this, though. It's the first time ever.
Question,
it's the first time ever I thought to compare you to Mark McGwire. I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm not here to talk about the past.
But I look at it and I say,
I didn't even know how to plead the fifth.
But see, I looked at it a week ago.
At least you knew.
Outside of that beatdown by the Cowboys, how did you think he was playing?
Outside of that beatdown.
We're looking at that one week.
40-3 on your own court.
I thought he was playing okay and solid. I did. Yeah. Outside of the beatdown,
he was.
Okay. I thought he
until
was solid.
Until he was put in the spotlight and said, all right, Kirk Cousins, show us what you got. We believe in you. We believe in you, Kirk.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you something, Steve, because I know you watched the game, so I'm not even going to say, did you watch the game? Because I already know you and Mina watched the game.
That's right.
And even if you didn't, you went back and watched film.
That's right. That's
Six
true.
Sacks. That's not on him.
That's
the offensive
true.
Line was getting true. Killed up front. That's not on him.
40-3.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I blame him.
I'm not saying to blame him, but 40-3 is 40-3, my brother. I mean, blame Dalvin Cook too. Blame Justin Jefferson too. Blame Thielen and Hawkinson too. Blame O'Connell's or blame everybody.
He's low, blame the cheerleaders.
Look, blame everybody.
He is low hanging fruit.
There's no question about it.
He's low hanging fruit. He really is. He's just like Jimmy G at times.
We're not even arguing that he's a bad quarterback. The question was, are they an 8-2 team? Do they have the qualities of an 8-2 team? If you're an 8-2 team, it would stand to reason you're one of the best teams in football. That's why we're asking questions about, like, do you really think the quarterback is up there? Do you really think this is a top-tier defense? Because we're not asking if the Vikings are good. I think we all agree they're a good football team. The question was, are they 8-2 good? And that's why Stephen A. and I take issue with it, because they're just not.
I do, though. I think they're 8-2 good. I really honestly do. I think they're 8-2 good football team.
8-2 team doesn't really get spanked like that. Today.
Yeah,
Come on now. I didn't watch.
I mean, I've never seen a lot of love.
I didn't watch Peyton Manning 13 game win teams get beat down against the Jets 41-0, Mina.
Yeah.
With Peyton Manning
at
quarterback.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Mina? If Keyshawn was here in New York, it would be harsher.
Yeah, he'd be
killing people. Is that he in that sunshine in Cali? That's what that's about, okay?
I think you're right. He's a softie.
Yeah, you are.
That's okay. That's all right, Mina.
He's a sweetie.
All right.
He's just a big sweetie.
I'm going to lunch today.
Oh, let me guess. Nobu?
No, it will be sushi, but it won't be Nobu.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Drives too long for him.
He can't drive all the way up there.
You know, he want quick. He can't get back home. That's what he wants.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stephen A., what's in store for Simmons?
It's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad.
How do you think he handled that just now?
I thought he handled that fantastic.
So did I.
And I think that as long as he continues to have that kind of attitude about it, especially if he goes out on the court tonight and performs the way he's performed over the last three games, mm-hmm. I think it's going to go a long way towards propelling his resurrection to some degree, resurrection to being an all-star caliber player. I don't see that as of yet. We're way off on that. I get that. But I'm not rooting against the brother. I'm rooting for him. Because clearly he has some issues. It's undeniable. When I saw the way he's played the first nine games of this season, it's clearly a head issue with this dude. He got a lot going on, and I don't wish that on anybody. So I'm rooting for him, but I will tell you, it's going to be bad tonight. And by the way, I don't want to hear no negativity about Philadelphia, because as much as I'm rooting for Ben Simmons, the bottom line is whatever they give him tonight, of course, excluding violence, whatever they give him, whatever level of vitriol and venom they throw in his direction, he deserves it from them. Only them, but definitely from them. So I don't want to hear anything about the city of Philadelphia when they get maligned for ridiculing him tomorrow. I'm not going to be one that's doing that as long as they don't do nothing stupid from a physical perspective.
Yeah.
Because he did quit on them in their eyes.
Looking forward to watching all of it, and we'll have all the reaction, of course, tomorrow. But let's get into some college. Down goes Tennessee. The Volunteers are now 9-2, likely out of playoff contention after getting crushed 63-38 by South Carolina at home Saturday night, pouring more salt on the wound. Quarterback Hendon Hooker left the game in the fourth quarter with an ACL tear. Ugh. And his left knee feel awful. After Tennessee's loss, they drop out of the top seven chances to reach the college playoff, according to the All-Star Playoff Predictor. Georgia and Ohio State are currently over 90%, with Michigan and TCU in the 3 and 4 spots. Even with Alabama having two losses, they have nearly the same chance as one loss USC. Here he is, the mouth of the South, my guy, Paul Feinbaum. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys.
Paul, tell me this. Who do you currently have in your top four, sir?
It's the same as we've had for a couple of weeks. It starts with Georgia, then Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU, Molly. Obviously, we're going to see some change this week because Michigan is playing at Ohio State. And I saw, did I see Alabama on that list? I'm sure Stephen A. Keyshawn has come up with a way for Alabama to get into the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's low.
Yeah, well, they got a long ways to go.
That's very low. I'm going to say this to you. The four is the four. Michigan will probably lose to Ohio State. Even if that didn't happen, I got some questions about TCU because of their schedule. I could see USC getting up in there.
And I got to tell you, if that were to happen, that would be very exciting for college football. That's what I'm looking at it. What's the possibilities, Paul, of UC and USC getting up in there?
Very good, because for those who don't follow this, USC has Notre Dame at home on Saturday night, and then they go to the conference championship game, presumably against Oregon, and Keyshawn and Molly and Stephen A., I think they're going to get past all that. And frankly, if they do, I think they deserve a ticket in. And what it really is going to come down to, assuming that TCU continues to win in the Big 12, they have Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game that none of us are going to be watching very closely, then I think it comes down between Southern Cal and the loser of Michigan and Ohio State. And quite frankly, I would go for Southern Cal right now.
Paul, why is it that I feel like TCU is this year's Cincinnati without the Cinderella story behind it?
Yeah, good point.
Keyshawn, because they are. And listen, I thought they would go down last week, and they won on a last-second field goal against Baylor, which I think has lost three or four games. They're a good team, but I don't want to sound like an elitist here, and I'm sure I will, but I don't think they could cut it against the big boys of college football right now. I mean, they've beaten a lot of good teams, but nobody great. And winning at Texas is no big deal right now. Texas has lost four games. Baylor lost four games. So they're not going to play another good team. And I think if they end up in the semifinals against Georgia, presumably, they're going to lose by three or four touchdowns. Last year, Cincinnati played Alabama. They couldn't hang with them. And I don't think TCU can hang with any of the top teams right now.
Isn't one of the criteria, though, to win your championship, your conference? And so how could Michigan get in if they lose Ohio State, or Ohio State, for that matter, get in if they lose to Michigan, if, in fact, one of the criteria is to win your conference? And if USC wins the Pac-12, how could they even be, you know, Michigan or Ohio State, whichever one, be in a battle with them to get in? Because if my memory serves me right, Paul, the only team that has gotten in this era was Alabama several years ago when they didn't win the SEC. But it's Alabama.
That was 2017, and you're absolutely right. Here's how I think USC will trump the loser of the game Saturday. Because, and it's not necessarily the conference championship. That does matter, Keyshawn. The committee always values that. It breaks a tie. But interestingly, Notre Dame is going to help everyone right now. Notre Dame beat Clemson a couple weeks ago, and give Marcus Freeman credit after that loss to Ohio State early on. They have come on really well. They lost to Marshall, Stephen A. We talked about that last week. But right now, though, they are a pretty good team, and it's going to count as a very good win. So I think that is going to be the deciding factor. And on top of that, USC is a very hot team. They've lost one game by 2 points at Utah, which is an extremely difficult place to play. They have perhaps the most exciting player in the country in Caleb Williams. Remember, he transferred over from Oklahoma. And I think they're sitting pretty right now.
Are we doing a disservice to LSU? They've got two losses on the season, but they've been playing good football over the last several weeks or so, at least had some big wins. I can't even express to you how disappointed I am in Tennessee. I was sold on Hooker and Hyatt and these brothers, and I mean, the way they looked against Georgia and then to get smacked around and beat down by South Carolina the way that they did, Tennessee was a huge disappointment to me. But what about LSU? Are we giving them the love they deserve?
Well, I think we are, but here's the problem for LSU. They have Texas A&M Saturday night. That's a 7-loss team. Yes, you heard me correctly. Jimbo Fisher has a 7-loss team.
Wow.
But then LSU goes to Atlanta, Stephen A., and they take on Georgia. I don't think they get out of there. And the problem then is, even though they have a tremendous resume, they beat Alabama, we know that, they are going to have 3 losses, and I don't think they have any way back in. So they have to win. If LSU pulls the upset, then we have a little bit of chaos, which we probably won't have otherwise. But LSU better win against Georgia. Otherwise, they're done.
One last quick question. What the hell has happened? Real quick, what the hell has happened to Texas A&M? How the hell does Jimbo Fisher have 4 7 losses on the season? What the hell is that about?
Well, it's a great question. And, you know, I think his arrogance has gotten in the way of his coaching. He will not change his coaching philosophy, Stephen A. This is a guy that has an $86 million buyout. Texas A&M can't get rid of him even if they wanted to. And there's some speculation that the fans would like to see a change. So they're stuck with him for now. But if he doesn't change his offensive philosophy, his career at A&M is going to go down in flames.
All right, got to leave it there. Paul, thank you so much. And Keyshawn, Caleb Williams is pretty good. You should try watching some USC games.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Keyshawn, are the Commanders a playoff-caliber team?
I think so. I think when you look at, you just mentioned five of the last six. They could have beat Minnesota. They lost to Minnesota by three. They got the Falcons coming up, which, I mean, many of us, I'm sure, think that the Falcons are the greatest team ever. And then they got the Giants that seem like the Giants might be headed in the wrong direction. They got them two of the next 3 weeks. So I think they're a playoff-caliber team. They might not win the division, though.
Could you stop it? They ain't going no damn play. They ain't going no damn play. Okay, so stop it. I mean, it was nice to see them.
She didn't say go to the playoffs. I understand that.
Caliber team. Okay, they got a winning record. All right, fine. Okay, they're going to lose to San Francisco. They're going to lose to Dallas. And they're going to lose one of those games to the Giants. So we got three more losses coming, which is going to be eight. And at best, they're going to be 9-8 on the season with Mr. Heineke as the quarterback. So stop it. Stop it. They're all right.
Okay.
They ain't wet the bed, but stop it.
We'll have this conversation later, sir.
I mean, if you're using playoff caliber as the thing we're going to look at here, many teams in the NFL, especially in the NFC, are playoff caliber right now. But as far as them actually going to the playoffs, I tend to take Stephen A's side. I think really with the wild card, you're looking at the Cowboys, who I think we all agree are a cut above. So it's really between the Seahawks, the Giants, and the Commanders for two spots. I don't think I'm missing anyone right now as far as the wild card goes. You know, those two games against the Giants will obviously go a long way towards deciding a lot.
More Mina on NFL Live.
You gotta go,
Mina. You can finish this song on NFL Live, Mina. Bye.